Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nidah Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the Mishnah, almost halfway down Mem Zayin Omed Aleph. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us glance in the margin of our Gemara, where you will notice a Nosei Mivneh heading. Nosei is a topic heading, and Mivneh a structural note. As you may have noticed in the Gemara text, in our Mishnah you see triangles, so their explanation is featured there on the note, which says, Shlavim, stages, behitpatchut ha'isha, with regard to the physical development of a woman, b'simone gufa, regarding different body signs, b'chelek yoin, regarding the upper part of the woman's development, particularly her breasts. So the Mishnah says, Moshal moshlu chachomim b'isha. The chachomim, the sages, used an analogy with regard to the development of a woman going from childhood into adulthood. Pago, Bochal v'tzemel. These are expressions that are relevant to the development of a fruit, specifically a fig. Pago is what is termed in other cases smodar, which is roughly the blossoming point. So a woman, when she is called pago, she's still a child, a minor. Bochal, this is a situation where the fruit is growing a bit, and that is parallel to the woman in her na'ara status. That's an age between 12 and 12 and a half. And v'tzemel, tzemel, the Gemara points out, is an expression, it's like a contraction expression, yotsa mleya, well, which we can say full development or adulthood. The Mishnah itemizes them now. Pago, oida tinokis, the pago stage of the woman's development, she's still a child. Boichal, elu yume na'ureo, these are the days of na'arus. Bezu ubezu, regarding childhood, tinokis and na'arus, omru, the halacha is, aviha zakai b'metzi osa, u'vemaisa yodeha, u'behaforas nedoreo. The girl's father is entitled to mitziosa, items she finds, lost items that she finds, so their ownership goes to her father. Maisyodeo is any income that she produces. Haforas nidora is the right of the father to void any vows she may make. Tzemel, continuing in the Mishnah, Tzemel, kevon shebogro shuv ein lovia rushus ba, when she reaches bagrus age, which is roughly, which is 12 and a half, assuming that she has these signs, so the father has no longer any domain over her. Ezehu simonim, what are the signs? And Rashi points out, we're focusing on tzemel. What are the signs of the girl reaching bagrus? Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, mishiyale hakemet tachas hadad, when there appears a fold or a wrinkle under her breast. Rabbi Kiva Omer, mishiyatu hadodim, when the dodim, when the breasts are a bit larger than the stage Rabbi Yossi Haglili gave us, when they yatu would be they bend over, they fold over onto her chest. Rabben Azai Omer, mishi yashchir ha pitoimes, when the nipple turns dark in color. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kideshiye nosen yado al ha'ikets v'hu shokea v'shohe lachzor, it would be that level of development that one could place a finger on the nipple and press on it, and it would not reassume its original position immediately, but rather delay in reassuming its original position. Pago, Oida Tinokes. So here the Gemara explains the use of these words and their relevance to the girl. So Pago is an indication she's still a child. Kidirtiv, Hateino Chonto Pageho. Chonto has to do with blossoming. So you see the word Pageho, which is Pogo, is associated with that very early stage. And as we said, with regard to the child, the girl, she's still considered a minor, a child. Boichal, Elu, Yemei, Haneurim. The term Boichal is a reference to the Neurim, the Na'aros status, Kedisnan, and in order to show the use of the word Boichal in this context, so we have two sources. One is a Tanaic source, Hateinim Mishi Yivchalu. This is a Tanaic source dealing with the development of figs, and a point at which one would be obligated to tithe them. So the tithing time, they have to have reached a certain level of development, so they're a bit larger, and at that point they are chayov in meiser, in hafroshes. The Omar Rav Bar Chana, Omar Rav, Mishiyalbin Roshehen, when their tips become white in color. So too, the parallel to the girl is that her breast is developing, and you can see that is increased in size. Biboyesema mehocha. Vatikser, another approach to the word bochal, is as seen in the posuk. Vatikser nafshi bohem, v'gam nafshom bochala bi. Now the word bochala indicates something that's getting larger. And Rashi adds a little more to that, but for our purposes, we're trying to see the word bochal indicating increase in size. Tzemel, the word tzemel, which we saw is a reference to adulthood, kemadom ar yotzesa malea, it's like, it's a contraction, meaning something that's fully developed, or it's reached its full size. So too with the girl, then she's reached a full level of development, and thereby enabling us to classify her as a bogeris. The Gemara continues. Ve'ezu simonim, Rabbi Yosi Haglili Omer, Mishiale Hakemet. When there appears a crease, Omer Shmuel, Lo Mishiale Hakemet Mamish. Shmuel points out that we're not referring to an actual crease. Elokedeshe tachsir yodeh alachoreha. It's a certain level of development where the girl would draw her hands behind her back. Veniris kemi shiale hakemet tachas hadod. And it would a crease would appear to be seen. Tachas hadod, under her breast. Shmuel bodak biamse. It might be pointed out parenthetically that Shmuel himself was a medical man, a doctor, and the Gemara here says that Shmuel checked out this development with his bondmaid. In other words, there was a girl servant that was serving in Shmuel's household, and he checked this out. V'yohiv lo arba zuzi, and he paid her money, 4 zuz demei boishosa, to compensate her for the possible feeling of embarrassment that he subjected her to in his investigation. Shmuel Itame, Shmuel in paying the bondmaid the money is acting according to his own opinion. The Omar Shmuel Le'olam Bohem Tavodu. Shmuel, when with regard to slaves, the pasuk says that you shall enslave them, and Shmuel darshens this as La'avodu Nesatim. They are given to you to work with them, V'lo Labusha, but you don't have any right to embarrass them. So that Shmuel felt that he may have, even though she was enslaved to him, she was a bondmaid, nevertheless that doesn't give him a right to subject her to embarrassment. And therefore, being that he conducted this investigation, he felt a need to compensate her for the shame she may have felt. Here we have three approaches to dealing with slaves, and under the general topic heading that we have introduced this Gemara with our Nosei heading, on the side we have written Ha'im Boishes Shayach Bavodim is the concept of shame, and hence one's being allowed to or not to shame his Eved. How does that apply? Or here we have a couple of opinions and how they acted. So Shmuel says Miyachid Lohem. That means that he would pair off his bondmaids with his male servants and wouldn't allow them to leave to subject his bondmaids to being taken by just anybody. As Rashi says, the eno mafkiron b'nei boishes, he wasn't mafkir them because of his concern for their dignity. So in order to preserve their dignity, he used to set off, he used to create pairs, mating the shifcha with the eved. Rav Nachman machlich lahen. Rav Nachman, to the contrary, he switched them around at every interval of time. He just switched the different pairs, and he wasn't concerned with the fact that it may be a source of shame for them to be treated thusly. Rav Sheshes moser lahen la'aravi v'omar lahen iz daharu miYisrael. Rav Sheshes used to take his bondmaids and mafkir them to Arabs, and whatever the Arabs did to them, they did. And he would warn the women to stay away from Jewish men. Rabbi Yossi Omer v'chulei, my oikets. The Mishnah made reference to under Rabbi Yossi's explanation of adult development. He said in the Mishnah, "Kedeshi noisin yodo al ha'oikets." So the Gemara asks, what is the term oketz referring to? Or mashmul ukso shel dad, would be the nipple of the breast. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and on the side of our Gemara we have under our Nosei Mivneh heading, you see a double underlined feature. This is a series of deos b'mahu simone bagrus b'noshim. What are the signs of what is considered a sign of reaching adulthood with regard to women? So the source begins, and you'll see it continues to Amud Beis. Elu hein simone bagrus. These are the signs of adulthood. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, Mishi yiskash kishu hadodim. The term yiskash kishu has to do with something that bangs one into the other. For example, a bell has a clapper in it, so the action of the bell and the clapper hitting one upon the other is called this kashkesh. So that the description here is that the breasts are of that size that they would bang one into the other. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, and skipping the brackets for a moment, because the language in the brackets requires adjustment. So his opinion is mishe yaftzil roish hachoitim. Rashi says about this suffik. In other words, he has a doubt as to what exactly this means. So we too will just say that it has to do with a certain level of breast development. The word yaftzil in general means something that is something comes split. There's a note in the margin that says mishiyasfil linokev shenira kemefutzal, where the nipple on the breast appears to be split, or where hole develops. Within the bracketed section that we skipped, let's go over and see what it says. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Oimer, Mishe Yachsif Rosh Hachoitim. Yachsif has to do with something turning silver or whitish in color. So the Gemara asks, Mishe Yachsif Askunola, the Yachsif is a sign of elderliness. So how can that be a sign of someone just turning into reaching early adulthood, when this would be a sign of old age? Ela Omar Vashi Mishi Yaftzil Rosh Hachoitim, when the tip of the breast appears to be split. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishe Takif Ho'atora. The Rashi explains Shegodol Ha'oketz V'Ov U'Mukof Atora, where the oketz, where the nipple is reached a certain size, and there happens to be an appearance of a ring surrounding it. Rashi also points out that this shiur of Rabbi Yossi of Mishetakif Watara is parallel to the shiur, to the level of development that he gave in the Mishnah of one's applying pressure to the nipple and it sinking in and delaying a bit till it restores outward. Continuing in the source, Rav Shimon Omer Mishe Nisma'ich HaKaf. This is a different type of shi'ur, so far as it's a reference to something on the lower part of the body of the woman, and not the breasts. So Mishe Nisma'ich Hakaf. We're at the very top of Omid Beis. This is explained by Rashi, is that there is a certain type of rounded portion of the girl in the pubic area that becomes lowered or flattened as she develops. So it's at that point that you have Nismai Hakaf that he would say she is a Bogeris. V'chein hoya Reb Shimon Oimer, Shlosh Simonim Noslu Chachomah B'Isha Milamato, and thusly Reb Shimon said that there are three signs of a woman's development on the lower part of her body, Uchanegdon Milamalo, and opposite them or parallel to them, you will have developmental signs on the upper part of her body. Pago, this is what we said before was like Chanota, the blossoming, Milamalo, Biodua Shalohe Vyoshtesas. You can rest assured she on the lower part of her body has not produced the two pubic hairs. The Gemara continues. Bochal, this is the parallel to the Na'ara state, Mila Malo, when she is Bochal Mil Malo, which is we saw a certain level of breast development on the upper part of her body. Biodua Shavio Shte Sarsen, you can rest assured that she has produced the two pubic hairs. Tsemel, which is the Bogeris stage, Mila Malo, when she's Tsemel Mil Malo, the fuller development of the breasts, biyadua shenismai hakaf. So you can rest assured, or it is known that that round part of the pubic area has descended. My kaf, what is this area called? Kaf. Omar Rav Huna, mokom tofuach yesh lemalo meosumokom. There is a slighted rounded or bloated area above the pubic area. And kevon she migadeles mismayich v'holech, and as she gets older, so it gets lower and lower. Shalu es Rebbe. You'll notice we have a diamond around this expression with a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. In our margin, we have featured this under our mivne heading. The diamond is featured with Roman numerals 1 and 2. And you'll see the expression Shalu Es Rebbe in both cases in this diamond shape. These are Shnei Lashonas, two versions, Alma Koi Psak Shel Rebbe, on what is Rebbe's halachic ruling, that where he says the halacha kedivrei kulon lahachmir, where we have a series of opinions, and Rebbe says that we will follow all of the opinions and insofar as achieving a stringent ruling. So, as we said, there are two versions of this Rebbe legal ruling. In this case, the first version has this Rebbe ruling on our case of the multiple opinions as to what is the actual sign of development. So, Shalowis Rebbe Halacha Kedivrei Mi. They asked Rebbe, well, who does the halacha follow? After all, we saw a number of different opinions as to what is considered Bogeris, so who do we follow? Shalach Lahu, so Rebbe sent a response. He says, Kedivrei kulon lahachmir. We will follow all of the opinions as long as we achieve a strict or a stringent ruling. How does this apply to us? So looking at Rashi on the second line from the top, lahachmir, Eze me'elu shetovi, any one of these signs that she may have produced. And as we said, we saw Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, all kinds of different signs of Bakrus development. So Rebbe rules that any one of these that she produces, shuv ein oviha mefer nedorah, so the father will no longer be able to absolve her vows. We will consider her already have reaching adulthood, thereby precluding the father from acting as an absolver of vows. And examples of this would be niskash kishu afagavdalo hirsif, if the breasts wobble, if you will, even though they haven't turned light in color, or hirsif afagavdalo hiskashishu, or maybe they've turned light in color but they don't wobble. V'chein kulam, and similarly along those lines with regard to all of the other
opinions. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Popo v'Rav Chinino Brei d'Rav Ika, we have two Amoroim, Chad Masni Aho, one taught Rebbe's response to the topic we just mentioned, the Chad Masni Achotzer Tzuris, and one used or one applied Rebbe's ruling of Halacha Kedivrei Kulon Lahachmir to the case of Chotzer Tzuris. Now this is a totally unrelated realm. This has to do with the topic of tithes, and there is a rule that at a certain point in your handling of produce, you then become chayav to tithe it before you can partake of the produce. Prior to this time, one would be entitled to partake of it without having actually tithed it, because it hasn't achieved its gemar, its final stage. So the Gemara asks, or I should say the Gemara quotes a Tanaic source in which the question is raised, Ezu chotzer tzuris shechayeves b'maiser. It is a given that when produce is brought into a courtyard, that one must tithe from the produce before he is allowed to partake of it. So the source is we're here quoting a Mishnah from Meisers, which says, well, what is considered the chotzer tzuris, which represents the point in time that the produce becomes kavua for hafrosha. As we said, you cannot eat from it, you cannot partake of it unless you do practice the tithe. So Reb Shimon Omer chotzer hatzuris shakilim nishmorin besocha. It is a type of courtyard in which vessels are considered guarded, that they're not open for grabs. There was a bracketed section that we would momentarily skip the brackets, so you can see that the list continues, Rabbi Kiva Omer, and he gives his opinion. But before that, the Gemara interrupts within the brackets and says, my chotzer hatzuris, what is this thing, what is this area called chotzer hatzuris? Omar Rabba Bachan Rabbi Yochanan Shekein B'Tzor, in the town, in the city of Tzor, Moshivin Shomer Al Pesach HaChotzer. They would place a guard at the entrance to the courtyard. So Reb Shimon says that a chotzer tzuris is a type of chotzer that vessels, that one's articles are considered guarded. Rabbi Kiva Omer Kol she'echod poseach de'echod noyo p'tura. If it's a type of chotzer where there's no fixed guard watching it, but rather anyone can open and close it, so p'tura means it would be exempt. Produce that is brought into that type of chotzer would not be obligated to be tithed yet. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Kol she'ein odem boish le'echod b'soicha chayeves. Any kind of courtyard that a person would feel comfortable and unashamed of eating therein, so that would be considered of sufficient privacy, that produce brought into such a chotzer would need to be tithed. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Shenichnosim Lo V'Ein Omrim Lo Ma Atam Mevakesh. Any kind of chotzer that you would enter and you wouldn't be asked, hey, what are you doing here? So p'tura, that kind of chotzer would be exempt. The fact that no one bothers you to ask what are you doing here shows that it's still a public type area, and hence it's not the kind of area that would obligate the produce to needing tithing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shtei chatzer zu lefnimizu. If there are two courtyards, one an inner and one an outer, so hapnimis chayeves v'chitzon p'tura, the inner one is chayav in hafroshes. In other words, if you brought your produce to the inner chotzer, so it would need to be tithed. However, if you left them in the outer chotzer, in the outer courtyard, it would still be exempt from tithing. Shalu es Rebbe, halochik divrei mi. The question was presented to Rebbe, like whom will the halacha follow? So he answers, Omar Luhu, Rebbe answers, Halacha kedivrei kulon lahachmir. We will take into consideration all of these different opinions, leading to a stringency. And the stringency in this case would be that you will be obligated to tithe before you can partake of the produce. Let's take a look at Rashi. just across from here, down a line or two, is that Rashi says, "Kedivrei kulan lahachmir di'im yesh bo echad mikol elu." If a chotzer has any one of these characteristics, chayeves, the produce will be chayev. Im yesh shom shomer chayeves. If there is a guard watching the chotzer, so it will be the produce brought into such a chotzer will be chayev in tithing. Kerevi Shimon, afalgav de'echad posech de'echad noel. Even though it's a situation that anyone can come and open and close it. And if you don't have that situation where anyone can come and open and close it, it will be chayev in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says, when is there exemption? When anyone can come and open and close it. But if it's lacking that, so Rabbi Akiva would say chayev, even if there doesn't happen to be a guard there. But it's not a type of chotzer that's open, that's available for just anyone to walk into. So then, even if it doesn't have a shomer, it still will be chayev. If it's a type of chotzer that's sufficiently private that a person would feel comfortable eating there, chayeves, produce brought into that kind of chotzer will be chayev, even if there is no guard, and it still is a situation that anyone could open and close it. V'im omrim lo ma'ata mevakesh, and if it's a kind of chotzer that someone would ask him, what are you doing here? Chayeves, it would obligate produce for tithing. The afilu les bochad mikol hani, even if it doesn't have a guard, and even if it is opened and closed by just anybody. We turn back to the Gemara. At this point, we reached a Mishnah. We also have used here a double underline, which is explained under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have written here, Bas or Ben Esrim Shana. That's a boy, a girl, or a man, fellow, that's reached 20 years of age. Gil, Shekoivea, Hylinus, Visaurus. This is an age at which we can establish that the girl might be an Hylinus, or the man might be a Saurus. An Ilinus is a woman that will not be capable of procreation. Likewise, a Saurus is a man incapable of procreation. And we also note here, Machlikus, Beishamai, and Beisila. This topic is a controversy between these two schools of thought. So we turn to the Mishnah. Bas Esrim Shana, Shelo Evio Shtei Saurus. A girl who has reached 20 years of age and has not produced the two pubic hairs. Tovi Rayashi Bas Esrim, she should bring proof that she is 20. She's Bas Esrim Shana, the he Ilinus, and we would then rule that she is an Ilinus, and is as such someone who cannot reproduce. And with that knowledge, Loichaletzis Velo Misyabemis, in the event that she becomes a widow of a man, and obviously leaving no children, there was no Yibum obligation. The whole parsha of Yibum, the Yibum is the situation where a surviving brother marries the wife of his deceased brother, in other words, his brother's widow. That whole expectation of marriage, or in the event that he doesn't want to marry her, the chalitza ceremony, which releases her from the bond, enabling her to marry just anyone, that whole parsha, that whole section of law, does not apply to an Ilinus. And it's for the very simple reason that the whole parsha, the whole legal section called Gibum, is relevant only with regard to the maintaining the posterity of the deceased's name through the birth of a child. And if you have a situation where that birth couldn't take place in the first place because she, the widow, happens to be an Ilinus, so the whole parsha of Yibum was never said, and she in effect is free to marry anybody even without doing chalitza, which otherwise is the release ceremony when the parsha of Yibum is applicable. But as we said, if she's an Ilinus, so the parsha of Yibum is inapplicable, and hence all we have to know is that she has reached 20 years, and that would be, and she doesn't have the two pubic hairs, so we would label her the Ilinus. Likewise, Ben Esrim Shana Shelo Hevishtei Cyrus, a 20-year-old that hasn't produced two pubic hairs, Yoviu Raya Shehu Ben Esrim Shana, the in this case, if we just keep the Yibum scenario in mind, so the widow's family would bring proof that he has reached 20, for who's Soris, and he, this man, when in the case of Yibum is the surviving brother, is in effect a Soris, lo cholitz v'lo miyabem, he is not expected to participate in the Chalitza ceremony, certainly is not going to do Yibum because he is not included in the Parsha of Yibum, which we said was designed to continue the name of the deceased brother through the birth of a child. Elu Divrei Basilo, the ages we just stated, 20, with regard to the man and the woman, is in accordance with Basilo. Beishamai Omrim Ze Vezeh Ben Shmoina Esrei. Beishamai is of the opinion that the girl and the boy are labeled as Ilanus or Soros when they reach 18 years. Rabbi Elazar Omer Hazoch with Rabbi Beis Hillel. Rabbi Elazar has this called this middle of the road approach, where the male age is like Beis Hillel, namely 20. V'hanekeva k'divrei Beis Shammai, and the girl, the female, at age 18, we can already come to conclusions. Sha'isha me'meheres lavo lifnei ha'ish, because a woman's development is more rapid than that of a man, so that we can already come to conclusions when she reaches 18, as opposed to the boy when he reaches age 20. The Gemara, Viromini. We raise a contradiction from the following Tanaic source. It says, Echod li ben teisha shonim v'yom echod, v'echod li ben esrim shelo hevi shtei Cyrus. Whether it's a 9-year-old and one day, or it's a 20-year-old that have not produced two Cyrus, both of them are categorized as one in the same, which means they are ktanim. Ktanim means they are minors, not a Soros. A Soros is a male who would be labeled an adult, but simply ruled upon as incapable of procreation. But this source is telling us that if, in the absence of two pubic hairs, even if he's 20 years old, he's called a minor and not a Soros. That's against our Mishnah. Omar Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchok, Omar Rav, v'hu shenoldu boi simone Soros. Our Mishnah, which speaks about a 20-year-old, a fellow reaching 20, no pubic hairs, and our then labeling him a Soros, which is he is an adult, simply, as we said in the Mishnah, exempt from the Parsha of Yibum. That is all true, provided we also notice that he has the signs of a Soros. And what are those signs? Those are body signs that the Gemara in Yevomis enumerates, and Rashi quotes that over here what they are. One is Kol She'ein B'soro Motzi Hevel Kshirochetz, that when he bathes, his body doesn't produce heat, and Syro Lokuyan is a type of malformed or underdeveloped hair, ubisoro machlik, and his flesh is especially smooth. So those would be signs of those are Soros signs. So that our Mishnah, which says you can label a 20-year-old as a Soros, not only has he not produced the pubic hairs, but he also has these body signs. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rova Daiko Nami, you can see by careful reading of our Mishnah that this is also necessary, these Simone Soros, Tekotoni, because it says in the Mishnah Vahu Soros. The fact that it says Vahu Soros and he is a Soros indicates this Shema Mino, that there is the need for these additional body signs before we can label him a Soros. The Gemara asks, V'chilo noldulo Simone Soros ad kamo. Let us say you have a boy that he's reached 20, he does not have pubic hairs, but he also doesn't have these other body features that we noted in the Rashi. So ad kam means up till what age is he going to still be considered a minor? Toni Rav Chiya ad roiv shnoisav, until the majority of his life. The pasuk says yemei shnoisav bohem shivim shana, that a person's life life expectancy is 70 years. So when we speak about Roish Noisov, that means a person's past age 35. So that when he reaches 35 years of age, so we say that he now is considered, now that he hasn't produced the two pubic hairs, and he doesn't have these other body signs, now we will label him a Soros. He also became the Rebbe Chiyo. When a case of someone who was 20 years old that hasn't produced the pubic hairs, so e kochish, if he is emaciated, Omar luhu avyuha, he would instruct, feed him until he gains more body mass. E bari, if you have someone like this that's 20 years old that doesn't have simonim and he's corpulent, so Omar luhu akshua, reduce his weight. The hani simonim zimnin de osu machmas chishusa zimnin de osu machmas briusa. The signs of adulthood sometimes come as a result of causing emaciation, and sometimes come as a result of causing gain in weight. In other words, one's situation may influence the appearance of these signs, so as to, before issue a ruling, so you see here that Reb Chiyo would practice either causing loss of weight or gaining of weight before coming to rule on it, because this physical change of state could actually bring on the signs. Omar Rav, Hilchasa B'kula Pirka B'Eis L'Eis. Rav says that the halacha is in throughout this chapter. Meslace means a complete in this case, for example, I should say a complete passage of time. So that when, for example, when we spoke about 3 years old, we speak about 3 years and a day. When we speak about 9 years old, it's 9 years old and a day. That's what we mean, meislace, a complete 3 years, or a complete 9 years, or whatever age that we have seen cited in this parak, it's a complete unit of time. And now that comes to include our Mishnah that spoke about Bas Esrim, even though it did not say in our Mishnah Bas Esrim V'yom Echad. By adding V'yom Echad, that shows us we're talking about a complete unit of time, a complete 20 years. So Rav says that even though you don't have the expression of V'yom Echad in our Mishnah, it is to be understood that way. The Ulo Omar, Ulo disagrees. He says, Disnan Tanan, where the Mishnah gives you an age and adds V'yom Echad, like Shaloshanim V'yom Echad or Teshashanim V'yom Echad. So then I understand it's a complete unit of that time. Udelo Tanan, where the V'yom Echad expression is left out, Lo Tanan, so it is not to be understood. And so looking at our Mishnah, that would be a point of difference between Rav and Ula. The 20 years mentioned in our Mishnah, is it a complete 20 years before we can come to a conclusion, or is it merely a function of entering the 20th year? So the Gemara goes on, Bishlamo l'ula, hainu de katani hacha yom echad v'hacha lo katani. According to Ula, that says where it says yom echad, fine, and where not. So I understand there is a difference. Ella l'Rav, listening, but according to Rav, if Rav says in the entire perek, including our Mishnah, we are to understand it as a complete unit of time, so it should have said in our Mishnah, Bas Esrim Shana V'yom Echad, with that expression and one day, we understand it's a complete 20 years. So we're at this point beginning a question. The question itself lasts a number of lines, and we've used a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to show you how long this is. So in the meantime, we're saying that according to Rav, who says that our Mishnah is also to be understood as a complete 20 years, but it doesn't say V'yom Echad in our Mishnah, the Ode Toni. And furthermore, we have a Tanaic source, Rav Yossi ben Kippur Omer Mishum Rav Elezer, Shnas Esrim Shiotsu Mimeno Shloishim Yom Harehi Kishnas Esrim L'chol Deverha. The 20th year, as long as 30 days of the 20th year have passed, that's considered as if you're into, that's considered 20 years regarding all matters.
V'chein hoira Rabbi Balud shnas shmoina esrei shiyosimen shloshim yom. When a person enters their 18th year, just 30 days into the 18th year, they haven't completed 18 years. Harehu kishnas shmoina esrei l'chol dvaro. That's considered like a complete 18th year. Now, within this source itself, you see two different times presented. One presents 20, that's Rabbi Yisrael presents 20 years, and Rebbe makes mention of 18 years. So Bishlama de Rebbe with Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur lo kasha. With regard to these two shitas, they are themselves not contradictory. Hakavei Shammai, Hakavei Hillel. They simply represent two earlier Tanaic schools of thought. The shita that said 18 years, that is like Beis Shammai. The shita that said 20 years, that's like Beis Hillel. Ela lo Rav kasha. But according to Rav, we have a problem, because Rav said that when we made reference to these times, like the 20 years for the Soros, Rav said it's 20 complete years. In this source, you see a reference to 20 years, but all that it, but what that really means is 19 full years, and 30 days into the 20th year is considered 20 years. That's not like Rav. Tanoihi, so the Gemara points out, this issue, this entire issue, is a machlokas tanoim. And we now have a Tanaic source, Desanyo. This Tanaic source features five different areas of halacha. For our immediate purposes, the only one we're really interested in is the fifth example cited here. But before we go on, we just have to note that Rav, before we read this answer, would appear to be in trouble. Namely, when, because we have a Tanaic source that makes reference to 20 years and says really all that means is 19 years plus 30 days, 30 days into her 20th year. That is considered 20 years. So Rav doesn't seem to have anything to stand on. The Gemara responded that Tanoihi, the issue is a machlokas Tanoim, and in this source we will see that Rav too has a basis for his opinion. And that's an example number 5 where we've dashed, underlined, V'chein shebeben v'shebebas kulon me'es le'es. That all of these times are stated with regard to the completion of the time unit. So let's now see the source with its list, which, by the way, the Gemara will explain as the Gemara goes on after the source. So in defending Rav, the Gemara said, Tanoihi, Desanyo, Shana, Ho'amuro, Bekotchim. The year that is stated by Kotchim, where the Pasuk says, for example, Keves ben Shnoso, where the Torah wants me to bring a Keves 1 year old. Or Shana, Amuro, Bebote, Orechoma. The year stated in the case of someone who sells a city in a walled city, which the Torah says you have only up till a year in which to buy it back. If you sold it, you can demand its resale, provided you do so within a year. Shtei shanim shebestei achuza. If someone sells an inheritance field, so the Torah says that he is able to demand its resale or its return, provided you allow it to be in the hands of the purchaser for a minimum of 2 years. Prior to the 2 years, the original owner cannot insist on buying it back. Sheish shonim shebe'evet ivri, a Jewish person who is sold into obligated servitude, he is to work for 6 years, after which he is set free. So the 6 year unit of time with regard to Evet Ifri, V'chein Shebeben V'Shebebas, and likewise the unit of times associated with girls, with boys and girls. And we're assuming right now that this is a reference to our Mishnah of the 20 year old, the 20 stated with regard to Ben and Bas for establishing their being Srisen, Kulon Me'es La'es. They, all of these time periods are a complete time unit as stated, and that is like Rav. Here the Gemara goes over each one of these points of law with their respective sources. So Shona Amura Bekotchim Minolon, from where do we know that when the Torah speaks about, gives an age for a sacrifice, that it has to be a complete unit of time? Omar of Acho Bar Yankiv, Omar Kro, Keves ben Shnosoi. That is a pasuk dealing with the age of a sheep set aside to be a sacrifice.
Shnosoi shelo. The word shnoso is in the possessive form, so it means its year, the animal's complete year. Velo shana shel minyan oilom, and not the fact that a year changes as the world counts years. In other words, if you have, let us say, an animal that is born in the middle of a given year, let's say it's born in the month of Elul. So we don't say that it's considered 1 year old when Tishrei comes around, which is like a calendar change, but rather it becomes 1 year old when the next Elul comes around, and because it's that is the animal's full year of life. Shana Hamura Babate Orchoma, the year stated with regard to the resale of houses sold in a walled city, Minolan. From where do I know that that the Torah speaks about a complete year? Omakro ad toim shnas memkoro, that you can force the resale until the end of the year of the house's sale. Memkoro shelo, its year of sale. Velo shnas shel minyan olam, and not the change of a calendar year. Shtei shonim shebestei achuza, the 2 years that are stated with regard to the inability of demanding the resale or the return of the stei achuza to the original owner. How do we know there that it must be a complete 2 years in the possession of the purchaser? From where do I know this? Omar Kroh, the Pasuk says, Ben Mispar, we continue at the top of Mem Ches Omar Aleph, Shnei Tivuos Yimocher Loch. That is the Pasuk. Pe'omim Sha'ato Mocher Sholosha Tivuos B'shtei Shonim. In this Pasuk, you see a reference to Shnei. Now, the minimum of Shnei means two. Ben Mispar Shnei Tivuos Shnei is the construct form of years, shanim. So the minimum number of shani is 2 years, and it also says tvuos, like harvests or grains. And Rashi explains, well, before, maybe let's read just the next few words of the Gemara. Pa'omim shata mocher shloisha tvuos b'shtei shanim. Within this pasuk, you see a reference of a possibility of having three crops in 2 years. And the question is, how is it that the one who purchased this stei achuza, how could it be that he'll have three crops over in the course of 2 years? Assuming that we're dealing with annuals, so that means one crop per year. So if he bought it for 2 years, how could he have three crops? So the Rashi explains at the top, Shnei tvuos, miut shnei shonim. But miut shnei is shnayim. The minimum of shnei is two. That means 2 years. Uksiv tvuos, umashma kol tvuos, all the grains, shel shtei shonim. Lahavi tvuos shlishis, to include a third harvest. Usholish tvuos lo mishkachas lo b'shtei shonim. You can't have three harvests in 2 years. Elo me'eis leis, unless you calculate the passage of time as a complete 2 years. Kagon mochlo lo be'elul malea peros. Imagine a sale of a field in the month of Elul, where the field was full of produce, unharvested produce. Nimsa oichlan. Well, he bought it in Elul, full of produce. He then consumes that. He'll harvest it and consume it, being that he just bought it. The oichel tvua ad shiachzor v'yitzor kodem Elul haba. And from that point in time till the next Elul, he'll be able to plant and harvest a second crop. Harei shtei tvuos b'shana achas, within 12 months you can see he's enjoyed two crops. V'yod yurichal tvua hashni shenis shihi shana hashlishis l'fi minyan ha'olam, and he'll then have another crop that he'll plant and harvest, which would be, as far as the calendar years are concerned, that would be represent the third calendar year, but nevertheless, it's as far as he is concerned, two calendar years.
And how do we come to saying the third year as far as the calendar is concerned? Well, if he bought it in Elul, so that's, we'll call that year one for him. And then when Tishrei comes about, that's year two, because that's a calendar change. And then 1 year after that, the next Tishrei, that would be a third year, so to speak. But nevertheless, we don't say that that's considered his holding onto it for 3 years, but rather it's considered his holding onto it for 2 years, because we count the years based on his purchase of the field and not based on the calendar transition of years. Continuing in the Gemara, the next triangle, Sheish Shona B'Shevet Eved Ivri, when we speak about a person being sold into forced servitude and he has to remain there for 6 years, what do we mean 6 years? It means 6 personal years. 6 years since the day of his sale. Minolan, from where do we know that? Omakro, Sheish Shonim Yavo Ubashviis. That's a quote from the Pasuk. Technically speaking, there are the simple reading of the Pasuk is that in the seventh year he goes free. It says Ubashviis Yetzei Lechofshi. But we're reading it with moving the comma, so to speak, over one word, and reading Sheishonim Yavod Ubashviis. What does that mean? Ubashviis Nami Yavod. That means in the seventh year he is also going to be working. So what do we mean in the seventh year is also going to be working? Well, because if you look at the fellow's sale into servitude and base things on calendar change, so you might very well be into the seventh year by way of calendar year change. However, he works for 6 years, and only for 6 years, but we're not basing it on calendar change. We're basing it on from the time of his sale. So 6 years counted from the day of his sale, plus 6 years, that means 6 years of his work, which, when you look at the change of years vis-a-vis the calendar, it might be the seventh year. Sheveven v'shevevas l'may hilchasa. The Tanaic source that we saw that said Sheveven Shevas, also we consider it Kulan Me'eis Le'eis. What is that a reference to? So Omar of Gidol Amarav Le'inyan Erechin. It's a reference to the ages when it comes to Torah rate dedications. That's a reference to someone who dedicates his Torah value to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Erechin. The Torah assigns specific money values based on age. So when we say that a person who is, let's say, is 20 years of age, that he has a certain Torah value, that Torah value is when he has completed 20 years of age. Rabbi Yosef Omar Lepirkin de Yotze Doifen, the term Sheveven Shebevas is a reference to that which we learned in our Perek, whose name is Perek, the Perek of Yotze Doifen, which is more specifically our Mishnah, which spoke about at what point do we establish him as being a Soros, or the girl as being an Eilonis. And it would be Me'eis Leis, a complete 20 years of their life. Omer le Abaye, mi pligas, Rav Abaye asks Rav Yosef, are you arguing with Rav Gittel? Omer le lo. No, I'm not arguing halachically with Rav Gittel. Hu Omar Chada, he said one thing. He said that the age, as far as the Erechin Torah rate, is based on a complete unit of time. V'ano amino Chada, and I said my point regarding a different halacha, v'lo pliginon, and we are not at odds with one another. In other words, he would agree with me, and I would agree with him. V'hochi nami mistabra, and it's also likely that Rav Gittel is not arguing with Rav Yosef. The salkadaitach pligi man diomar le'erichin lo'amar liyotze doifen. If you were to think that they are arguing, that the one who had said le'erichin, that's Rav Gittel who quoted Rav, is saying for erichin you need to have 20, you have to have complete years. So and would not agree that with regard to Yotze Doifen, with regard to the Soros determination. How could that be? V'omar Rav Hilchus Bekula Pirkin Me'eis Leis. But Rav himself ruled that the halacha with regard to this perek and all the different ages mentioned in this perek, including Soros, and or Eilinus are me'es le'es, just like Rav Yosef said. So at this point we are showing clearly that Rav Gidol, who quoted Rav with regard to Erechin, doesn't disagree with Rav Yosef, who spoke about the issue of the Soros and the Eilinus. Elo, Lamadam le'erechin my time alomar liyotzadofen. So here's a technical question. The one who interpreted the Tanaic source at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, where it said v'chein shebeben shebabas, that's a reference to the section of Erechin. Why didn't he say that it is a reference to the Perek Yotzadofen, to the issue of Soros and Eilinus? Answer, Dumya dahanoch. In the list where shebeben shebabas appears, it appears along with other examples. Ma hanoch diksivon, just like the other examples, kochim, evet ivri, bote ori choymo, and the stei ahuza, just like those things are parshas that are written in the Torah, af hani nami diksivon, so too, with regard to shebeven shebevas, it would have to be a reference to something that's spelled out in the Torah, as a Torah portion, as is the case of Erechin, which is a Torah, which is a section in the Torah. So, in order to keep uniformity of examples, that's why it was interpreted by Rav Gidol Amarav as referring to Erechin, to be in line with the other examples in the source. The Idoch, Hai Shebeben Shebebas, and the Manda Omar that said that it's a reference to the Perek Yotzedoifen, meaning the issue of Eilinus and Soros. So, if it were in fact referring to Erechin, if it's like Rav Gidol Amarav claimed, then the Lashon should have been different. Sheva Zohar v'sheva Nekeva miboyale. It should have used the expression of Zohar and Nekeva. Male and female would have been more appropriate, which is the language of the Pasuk. And Rashi quotes the relevant Pasuk. But the fact that it used the term Sheva Shabbas, I see that it's not referring in the Tanaic source to the Parsha of Erechin, but rather, like I say, to the Parsha of, or to the Halacha of Soros and Eilinus that are mentioned in this parak called Yotzedoifen. Omar of Yitzhak Bar Nachmeni, Omar Revelozer. This Revelozer, we just want to point out, is Revelozer ben Pedos, the name of an Amora. Halacha Krebiosi ben Kippur, Shomar Mishum, Rebbe Eliezer. So he rules like Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. We have a little arrow, by the way, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, pointing to Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So if you look back at the lower part of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, you'll also notice an arrow at the lower part where you see this name featured in a Tanaic source, where it mentioned the Shnas Esrim, that a girl or a boy who's reached 20 years, it really means finished 19 years and 30 days into the 20th year, that's considered 20 years. So it's 19 years plus 30 days. So here you have Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos saying the halacha is like that opinion. In other words, at that point, 19 years and two and a month, if a child hasn't produced pubic hairs, so there can be a ruling that he is a Soros or she's an Eilinus. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Ezke, he issues a type of prayer where he says, I should only merit the Esak, and I go up to Eretz Yisrael, the Agmar Lishmaitza Mipume Demora, and I should hear the teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni from the source, meaning from Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos. So I want to learn this teaching of that Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni quoted in the name of Rav Elazar ben Pedos. I want to hear it from the source itself, Rav Elazar ben Pedos. Kisolik, well, when Rav Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkei Rav Elazar, he met him. Omar Lei, so Rav Zera asks, Omris Halach Rav Yosef ben Kippur, did you rule like Rav Yosef ben Kippur? Amarle mistabra amri. I said that it's likely that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. In other words, I didn't rule straight out that it's like him, but I said it's most likely like him. Midukule pirkei toni yom echad, where you find throughout the other ages mentioned in this perek, you find the yom echad phrase
added, like we said, Shalosh Shonim V'yom Echad, or Ben Teisha Shonim V'yom Echad. V'hocha, in the case of our mission of the Soros Islandess, Lo Kotoni, you don't have the expression Yom Echad. Shma Mino Mistabro Kavosei. So this shows us that it's likely to follow the ruling of Rabbi Yossi Ben Kippur, namely 19 years plus 30 days. That would already be considered 20 years. With that, we complete our shiur for today.